taking it for a ride. Bye-bye.
Leaning into local radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Biden has approved federal disaster declarations for several states impacted by Helene, freeing up federal resources. The death toll from the storm climbing to more than 60 people dead across the South this morning. ABC's Johnny Fernandez.
The storm surge, wind damage, and inland flooding impacted nearly every southeastern state.
We never anticipated it to be this devastating.
Helene weakened as it moved inland, but still brought with it damaging winds and devastating floods.
The IDF says it killed another high-ranking Hezbollah commander, Nabil Kouak, in a strike in southern Beirut yesterday. Kouak was the commander of Hezbollah's preventive security unit. This after an Israeli attack Friday killed Hezbollah's longtime leader, Hassan Nasrallah. East Coast and Gulfport dock workers preparing for a strike that could have a big impact on what's in store shelves this Christmas season. Deadline for a deal, 12:01 Tuesday morning. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A downsized Trump rally in southwest Wisconsin. The Republican nominee for president wanted to campaign outdoors Saturday at the Prairie du Chien Airport. But the rally got moved to an indoor performing arts center that seats 650. It's because several Secret Service agents were providing security at the United Nations General Assembly meetings in New York. The disgraced former chancellor of UW-La Crosse is fired again, this time from his teaching job. Jimmy Kuska has the latest on Joe Gao.
Gao was fired as chancellor in December after UW officials learned he was producing and appearing in online pornography. Earlier this year, a UW-La Crosse panel recommended removing Gao from his faculty position. The Board of Regents listened to 45 minutes of discussion before making the decision in closed session. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Jordan Love returns. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After missing 2 weeks with an MCL sprain, Love will take over at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Love said he had been moving around better in practice this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I feel like I'm getting better every day. Moving around, getting out there and practicing, things like that is feeling better.
Love added he worked hard to get back for today's border battle.
I've been trying to get back as fast as I can, no matter who the opponent was. But definitely, I mean, you look at this week and NFC North opponent, a 3-0 team, really good team, so it would definitely mean a lot to be able to get back and push myself to get back for this game.
Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon. USC dominated Wisconsin football in the second half yesterday, putting up 28 points in the second half to stun the Badgers 38-21. Wisconsin has dropped two in a row and hosts Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kick. The Brewers, who are locked into the NL's third seed, defeated a potential playoff opponent, the New York Mets, with a 6-0 shutout Saturday. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Kuska with Civic Media Sports.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine for your Sunday with light east winds developing. Highs in the upper 70s to near 80. Tonight, quite cool. Clear skies, light winds out of the southeast. Lows will drop to the upper 40s to lower 50s. Sunny and breezy Monday. Right now, it's 45 degrees.
At Enbridge, we invest in projects that foster job creation and contribute to the Wisconsin economy. The Line 5 segment relocation project will create 700 family-supporting union jobs and generate over $100 million in local spending. That's in addition to $35 million per year in property tax and $27 million in total wages paid to Wisconsin employees. Learn more at enbridge.com/L5WIS.
Wendy's breakfast burrito has an entire breakfast in every bite. Fresh cracked eggs, seasoned potatoes, American cheese, cheese sauce, and sausage or bacon. So the first bite is like fresh cracked American sausage cheese sauce. Bacon. And the second bite is like fresh cracked American cheese sauce. Bacon. And the third bite, you get the idea. The boss of breakfast burritos, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours. This week on Viewpoints.
For some people, it's peanuts. For a different generation, it might be Calvin and Hobbes or The Far Side. For a different generation, it was Blondie or Steve Canyon or Terry and the Pirates.
We delve into the rich history of comics. Then,
you don't have face-to-face contact with other human beings, and so you forget how to even make normal facial expressions.
The permanent damage caused by living in solitary confinement for weeks on end. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down, covered by the Verizon 5G network, and all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
From Archie to Calvin and Hobbes to Batman, comics are an American staple. Whether it's a short comic strip or comic book series, these visual storylines pull you in and make you feel like you're in a different time and place. They're easy to read and follow, and there's a comic out there for everyone. If you're an adult listening, you probably have fond memories of flipping through the colorful pages of a comic you used to love.
Almost everybody I've talked to has some kind of childhood strongly forged connection to comics. It could be, for everybody, it's different, right? For some people, it could be Spider-Man. For other people, it could be Little Lulu. For other people, it could be Archie or Richie Rich. For younger people now, it could be the graphic novels of someone like Raina Telgemeier. But everybody has this extremely strong and visceral memory of saying, I saw this words and pictures, these comics put together, and it stuck with me, and it's been formative in my experiences and in my life, even just as a strongly remembered emotional moment.
That's Jeremy Dauber, a professor of Jewish literature and American studies at Columbia University. He's also the author of the book American Comics, A History. He says that comics are so pervasive in American culture because the illustrated storylines appeal to everyone in one way or another.
This was part of a lot of Americans, kids, grown-ups, daily routine was they had some comic, right? They picked up the newspaper in the morning, right? They read the comics, right? This was part of who they were. And it wasn't surprising that the strips developed to address and think about all sorts of concerns and issues and emotions and feelings that people had in their everyday lives. It really was a reflection and remains a reflection of who people are. And that is something that makes it so magical.
So how did this unique art form of combining pictures and words together come about? Dauber says that world historians don't have a definitive answer about when comics first began, but in the U.S., the first prototype was seen as early as the colonial period. It started off small, slowly gaining traction and gained larger popularity around the time of the Civil War.
That's really when people are beginning to get these cartoons and comics in their weekly reading and their weekly enjoyment in a way that really crosses the entire country. And it really takes off around the end of the 19th century with the rise of newspaper chains and syndicates and newspaper titans who want something that's going to really bring readers in, something exciting and visually stimulating that's going to bring readers in. And comics was the answer for that. So that's really when our story takes off.
One of the most influential people of this time was Thomas Nast. The German-born editorial cartoonist is recognized today as the father of the American cartoon. He's famous for the creation of Uncle Sam and his bold, political-driven cartoons that exposed widespread greed and corruption and poked fun at the powerful.
Nast was brilliant at the art of cartooning, not only because of the careful draftsmanship and his capability of sort of getting a scene down in this visual imagery, right? This is when photography is still very much in its infancy. And so, you know, you have these drawings that really tell it. But also, he's capable of creating these incredibly impactful symbols, these icons of cartooning that really sort of say a lot in a single kind of image.
While Nast is best known for his political cartoons, surprisingly enough, he's also responsible for the classic image of Santa Claus. He first drew Santa Claus in January 1863 in the magazine Harper's Weekly, giving the character a long beard and rounded belly. Daubert says that at the time, these characters were often used to spread pro-Union propaganda.
He was also writing and drawing these cartoons that created a kind of sympathy for the Union at the time of the Civil War, because he just was able to put symbolic material and sort of representation in one sort of incredibly powerful package. And comics can do that at their best.
Thomas Nast stayed a key figure in the creation of American cartoons until his death in 1902. By then, comics had really taken off as people in rapidly expanding urban areas relied more on newspapers for information.
These newspaper titans, people like Joseph Pulitzer, William Randolph Hearst, they really wanted to bring as many people to their newspapers as possible, of course. And so they realized that comics, which were had wonderful pictures, very sort of attractive. They could be attractive to little kids who could convince their parents to buy a favorite paper. They were good for people whose English might not have been quite so strong, so that they weren't have to reading so much of the text-heavy aspects of the newspapers. These were great circulation leaders. And so people like Pulitzer and Hearst started using increasingly technologically advanced printing presses to publish comics that had really interesting stories, very funny moments, were wonderfully drawn, and that would say, I want the paper with the Cats and Jammer kids in it, or the Yellow Kid in it, or Blondie in it, as time went on.
The popularity of these cartoons stayed constant throughout the 20th century. Illustrated stories broke up the imposing walls of text in newspapers and drew a more diverse audience. As a result, some comics gained such a following that they moved to a serial format that would continue the storyline from one day to the next.
There's a very old statement that you're not selling today's paper. They already have today's paper. What you're selling is tomorrow's paper. So a comic was great for this because it said, okay, well, I got to tune in tomorrow to see what the next installation of the story is going to be.
Daubert says that some of these already published serial comic strips were later reprinted and turned into the earliest comic books. From there, comic books also became a birthplace of new stories as superheroes like Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman came to life in the late 1930s and early 40s. Fast forward a couple decades, and the age of superheroes really took off with influential people like comic book writer Stan Lee driving storylines.
It starts with kind of the revamping of some of those old, what we call Golden Age superheroes, like the Flash and Green Lantern. But very soon after that, there comes a new revitalization of the superhero genre with what comes out of what we now know as Marvel Comics, right? And it is pretty fair to say that the energy of that new revitalization comes from the partnership of two or three people. One of them is Stan Lee, one of them is a guy named Jack Kirby, and one of them is a guy named Steve Ditko. And between the three of them, they have come up with a lot of the people who we're seeing all over sort of the movie screens today.
Characters like Spider-Man, the Hulk, and Doctor Strange still persist today because they're relatable and exciting. Dauber says that narratives where these characters have love trouble or can't make rent add another layer of reality to the mix.
These kind of concerns made them much more appealing to a slightly older audience, including a college audience, which at that point was quite rare for these kind of mainstream superhero comics. And that really kickstarted a new wave in thinking about what this kind of comic book could do.
Today, the field of comics looks a lot different. Comic strip characters like Garfield and Peanuts have turned into TV and film adaptations. Superheroes first seen in comic books are now part of a multi-billion-dollar industry. Even physical comic book publishing has moved online, allowing more creators to take part. The concept and creativity behind comics is quite unlike anything else. And similar to any other industry, it's always changing. To find out more about our guest, Jeremy Dauber, visit viewpointsradio.org. You can find his book, American Comics, A History, available online and in bookstores now. This segment was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, more than a quarter to a third of prisoners serving their sentence end up in solitary confinement. We examine this long-held practice of forced isolation when Viewpoints returns.
Febreze. Fabric Talk.
Hey, it's me, your couch. Today's my favorite day of the week, Febreze Fabric Spray Day. The occasional deep cleans are nice, but in between, you know I'm needing a refresh. Ooh, here she comes with the Febreze Fabric Spray. Oh, yeah, spritz them armrests. Don't be shy. Nothing like a good spray down to get me smelling so fresh and clean. Don't forget my back. Nice. Febreze Fabric Spray. It's just that easy. Now we can both breathe happy. Febreze. La, 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 la.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Good morning, doctor.
Doctor.
Hi, doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine spending day in and day out in a 6x8-foot room with no windows and blank white walls. There's overhead fluorescent lighting, a bare sleeping cot, and a steel toilet. The most stimulation you get on an average day is when a tray of food is pushed through a slotted opening. There's no clock on the wall, so you lose all sense of time. And there's no one to talk to, so you begin to talk to yourself. This is the reality for tens of thousands of prisoners in the U.S. on any given day.
Often people talk about it being eerily quiet, or else you hear echoing sounds, like a door sliding open really echoes. You can imagine it's like, in some ways, it's like walking into an empty building. There's no carpets. There's no paintings. Most often, there's no natural light, maybe sometimes a tiny slit of a window.
That's Dr. Keramet Ryder, a professor in the Department of Criminology, Law, and Society at the University of California, Irvine. She says that inmates are usually put in isolation because they're deemed to be uncooperative, violent, mentally ill, or need protection from other prisoners. Jump back to the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, and up to 300,000 prisoners were placed in confinement for months to stop the spread of the virus.
While I think we were making immense progress pre-pandemic with reducing the use of these conditions, there's a national stop solitary movement. There has been legislation, litigation, administrative decisions from within prisons to reduce the length of time people spend in these conditions and the number of people in these conditions. All the facilities still existed, and they were a natural place to isolate people when COVID outbreaks happened. And so the thing I've heard the most is that in prisons, people were afraid to say when they started feeling bad or they had an exposure because they knew the most likely outcome was they were going to be placed in solitary confinement indefinitely.
Experts estimate that today, around a quarter to a third of prisoners cycle through solitary confinement during some portion of their sentence. About 8% of prisoners are in solitary at any given time, According to the Federal Bureau of Prisons, some spend years locked up in this harsh environment for minor infractions.
There's a growing body of evidence that after even a few days in these conditions, even from experiments in the 70s around military trainings, that sensory deprivation can cause people to hallucinate, have real sleep disturbances, have intense anxiety and heart palpitations within even a few days. And these conditions, right, when we're talking about no access to natural light, fluorescent lights that are on 24 hours a day, no human contact for extended periods, these are very similar to sensory deprivation conditions. And in studies people have done, rates of suicide and self-harm in these units are often twice as high or higher than in the general prison population, where, of course, they're higher than in the general population of the country also.
Even after prisoners are released from solitary, the research has shown that it's led to lasting and severe damage. Paranoia, depression, heart damage, and a loss of social skills and identity are just some of the issues that have been previously reported. It's been well studied that the majority of inmates head into jail with mental health problems, and now it's only exacerbated. Tracy Velasquez manages public safety research for the Pew Charitable Trust and is an expert on criminal justice systems and practices.
What we've seen is that in terms of arrests, about one in four people who was arrested in the past year, according to the National Survey of Drug Use and Health, about a quarter of those people who were arrested had a mental health issue. They had either a serious or moderate mental illness. And we see this figure sort of go forward into jails as well. Other research by the Bureau of Justice Statistics also says about a quarter, about 26% of people in jails met the threshold for being considered having a serious psychological distress issue.
Velasquez says that prisons are legally required to provide mental health care. However, the quality of these programs widely varies from state to state. Some facilities have a large array of resources, while the rest are severely lacking. Ryder says that for inmates in solitary confinement, mental health treatment can often be unhelpful and uncomfortable.
If you develop some kind of psychological symptoms where you're in, while you are in these conditions, there's often little recourse to get you out. So people might not even be getting enough care to know. And most often the way mental health treatment is provided in these units is someone, not usually a doctor, someone like a nursing technician with a little bit of mental health training, just stops by the front of each cell door on the unit and kind of taps on the little tiny window and says, hey, how are you doing? That means that the person on the cell on either side of you and above and below you can hear everything about that conversation. And so people in solitary confinement describe that as a pretty hard way. That's how you would initiate any kind of need for mental health care. And people describe that as being pretty hard to want to do that in that kind of public environment.
Outside of healthcare workers, many correctional officers who interact with these inmates on a daily basis get little training or direction on how to adequately handle mental health situations.
Generally, in the United States, correctional officers have a few weeks of training at best before they become correctional officers and start walking the cell blocks. And one of the things that struck me spending time in these units is there's often people there who have been so difficult to deal with that they've been sent from forensic hospitals and mental institutions into the state, into the prison system. And then, so you've basically got doctors and nurses who've said, we can't handle these people, and then you send them into a supermax or a solitary confinement unit with correctional officers who've had a few weeks of training and say, you deal with them. And of course, that's frustrating and leads to trouble.
Ryder argues that there must be other alternatives to solitary confinement. Mentally ill or challenging populations shouldn't be automatically thrown into these cells and forgotten for weeks, months, or years. And what happens after a person's done serving their sentence? How are they expected to become functioning members of society when they've spent 22 to 24 hours a day locked up in a box? The Bureau of Prisons, which manages federal prisons, has admitted that solitary confinement isn't an effective deterrent for bad behavior. They've also agreed that it can increase future misconduct. Yet despite this, policies still excessively rely on this inhumane form of punishment. As prison population numbers tick back up, the future remains uncertain for the 1.2 million behind bars. To learn more about solitary confinement and our guests, Dr. Keramit Ryder and Tracy Velasquez, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment originally aired in November 2021 and was written and produced by Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
John Legend here. How do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC. Ask your healthcare provider and book at vaxassist.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Viewpoints Radio Podcast.
In 1990, only 3% of people in the U.S. said that they don't have any close friends. In 2021, that number had jumped up to 12%.
Listen today by searching Viewpoints Radio wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Are dating apps out? For the last 10 plus years, people have downloaded apps like Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge to meet other singles and hopefully find love. Go back to 2009, and Grindr was the first dating app to launch and help gay men match with other singles nearby. In 2012, Tinder, an online dating app catered to both men and women, joined the space. It quickly gained traction, and soon singles all over the U.S. were hooked on swiping, hoping to find that potential match. Fast forward to today, and some believe that dating apps are past their prime. Users are fed up and burnt out with the monotonous cycle of swiping, messaging, and suffering through lackluster dates. Many people also feel that the apps just aren't as good as they used to be. The algorithms are more selective, and most platforms are always pushing users to upgrade from a free to a paid subscription. These benefits include more matches and boosted visibility in front of accounts that typically get a lot of attention. Many relationship experts also argue that these apps, filled with endless profiles, have led to a culture of indecisiveness. Some people may feel like there's always someone better out there, so why settle? In this confusing dating landscape, what's the best option out there right now? There's no one answer, but some singles are deleting their online profiles to try and forge meaningful connections in real life. This could mean attending speed dating events, saying yes to that blind date set up by a mutual friend, or striking up a conversation at the bar. Everyone's story looks a little different. Who knows? Maybe a few years from now, dating apps will be back in their golden era. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. By all accounts, the production to make Jeremy Saulnier's new film Rebel Ridge was about as perilous as they come. The film originally starred John Boyega and was set to begin filming in April 2020, but production was halted before it began due to the COVID pandemic. In the summer of 2021, the movie finally began filming. But after several weeks, shooting was again halted when Boyega exited the film. Finally, in 2022, the movie was shot to completion with actor Aaron Pierre in to replace Boyega. The point in rehashing all of that is just to say that no one would have been surprised if Rebel Ridge ended up being a dud. Despite Saulnier's tremendous track record of success, having written and directed acclaimed films like Blue Ruin and Green Room, doubts do begin to form when a movie has to start and stop production multiple times. And yet, when the movie was finally released on Netflix on September 6th of this year, it was instantly a hit, both with Netflix users and critics alike. And the reason is simple. Rebel Ridge is great, and Aaron Pierre feels like the absolute perfect leading man. The movie centers on a former Marine who is unjustly detained by the police and has $36,000 taken from him via civil forfeiture. The film follows as Terry, its protagonist, tries to operate within the bureaucratic structures that be to get his money back and bail his cousin out of jail. As is often the case in the movies, red tape and small-town politics prove to be almost impossible hurdles to overcome, and Terry opts to take matters into his own hands. At once a tense thriller and a compelling action movie, Rebel Ridge is a Netflix film that really makes audiences think and consider the world. It tackles real issues like civil forfeiture without ever becoming a biased movie that wears its politics too much on its sleeve. It's nuanced and frustrating, and a movie that uses absolute restraint to bring audience members along for a very tense ride. Against the odds, Jeremy Saulnier was able to withstand multiple production pauses to make Rebel Ridge one of the best movies of the year so far, and it's now streaming on Netflix. I'm Evan Rook.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down, covered by the Verizon 5G network, and all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see totalwireless.com.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From First Time Nana Moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hi, I'm Nate with your Kurtz Island Sports Shop Fishing Report. Well, it looks as if fall's finally on its way. Following nearly 2 weeks of high temps in the 80s, things look to cool off a bit, hopefully bringing some consistent fall patterns back in order. Bluegill fishing has been very good, and one nice consistent despite the full moon, the high temps, and not usually on the radar. Very nice, above average. 8.5 to 10.5 inch gills are still being found on the outside coontail edges, 14 to 18 feet of water, and in downwood of 10 to 14 feet. Beaver tails, small crawlers and worms suspending under floats, as well as small plastic grubs are working best. Northern pike has been good to very good. Despite not looking so good last week, pike shot up the charts with some nice reports of anglers catching pike of 24 to 31 inches, working chubs in deeper, cooler slots on jigs with wire leaders. But the best report was of a large 41-inch pike caught on a number 5 MEPS. Yellow perch fishing has been good to fair. Medium fat tails and beaver tails on 1/16 to 1/8 ounce jigs or underslip floats along 8 to 12 feet of cabbage beds and flooded timber. Nice perch at 9 to 12 inches. Looking forward to seeing their surface temperatures drop. That will get fish in the mood and snapping. Most lakes have been very quiet. Lots of room for anglers. This has been Nate with your Kurtz Island Sport Shop Fishing Report. Good luck out there.
Get hooked on adventure at Kurtz Island Sport Shop. Reel in the big ones with their Primo fishing gear. From rods that lure envy to bait that fish can't resist. Need a fish whisperer? Kurtz Pros offer guide services to turn your fishing tales into legends. Swing by 824 Highway 51 North in Minocqua and gear up for epic fishing fun. Kurtz Island Sport Shop, where fishing dreams and big laughs are always in stock.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters. Northwoods
weather. I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Tons of sunshine for your Sunday with light east winds developing. Highs in the upper 70s to near 80. Tonight, quite cool. Clear skies, light winds out of the southeast. Lows will drop to the upper 40s to lower 50s. Sunny and breezy Monday. Currently 44 degrees.
98Q Country. 98Q Country.
He was working through college on my grandpa's farm. I was thirsting for knowledge, and he had a car. Yeah, I was caught somewhere between a woman and a child. One restless summer, we found love growing wild on the banks of the river. When 30 was old, my biggest fear was September, when he had to go. A few cards and letters and one long distance call. We drifted away like the leaves in the fall.
done me wrong. Don't think for a minute that I'm gonna sit around and sing some old sad song. I believe it's half full, not a half empty glass. Every day I wake up knowing it could be my last. I ain't here for a long time, I'm here for a good time. So bring on the sunshine, the hell with the red wine, pour me some moonshine. About what they'd like to do, but I like to do just what I like. I'll take the chance, dance the dance. It might be wrong, but then again it might be right. There's no way of knowing what tomorrow brings. Life's too short. Did I say bring on anything? I ain't here for a long time, I'm here for a good time. So bring on the sunshine, the hair with the red wine, pour me some moonshine. When I'm gone, put it in stone, he left nothing.
It's the weekend, baby.
Now is the time.
98Q Country.
Cleaned up, clean cut, and clean shaved. I got the cover off the 68. I fired it up and let them horses sing. A little pretty thing, a little tan leg Georgia dream. But she's rocking them holy jeans. Baby, what you got going on Saturday? You know, word's got it, it's gonna be a party. Out of town about half a mile. Four wheel drives and big mud tires. Around watching all these pretty things. Get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing started, it's my kind of party. Baby, just do your thing. Give up your keys. Hell, why drive when you can stay with me? And then after a while we sneak away from the bonfire. Walk by the moonlight and down to the riverside. Got you sipping on some moonshine. Baby, if you're in the mood and you can settle for a one night of rodeo, you could be my tan leg Juliet. I'll be your redneck Romeo. Can find me in the back of a jacked up tailgate, sitting around watching all these pretty things. I get down in that Georgia clay and I'll find peace at the bottom of a real tall cold drink. I'm chilling with some Skinner and some old hay. Let's get this thing.
to be. My mama loved her, her daddy loved me. We burned up the road between her house and mine. We kissed in her driveway, and by the time I hit the highway, she called to tell me goodnight one more time. And she'd say, love you, miss you, mean it, boy, I'll see you when I'm dreaming. I can't wait to feel you hold me again. Till then I'll be counting down the minutes, I'll be climbing up these walls. Your kiss, I want it. Baby, when graduation came, UGA was calling her name. We thought 200 miles was nothing we couldn't get through. But after that first fall, the time got longer between the calls, and I couldn't help but wonder what happened to her.
Their variety.
98 Q Country.
Whispered in my ear, guess who? Well, I ride
shirt.